In just over a month, South Africans will be heading to the polls for the local government elections. This past weekend, campaigning by political parties kicked into high gear as parties wooed voters with promises of job creation, rooting out corruption, and even ending load shedding. Now, the country has just exited the third wave of the pandemic, but the economy remains in a precarious position, and the DA and EFF are looking to unseat the ANC, which has been tainted by COVID-19 graft scandals amidst it all. But according to the IEC, more than 13 million eligible voters have not registered to vote, suggesting fatigue and apathy to some extent. Political analyst Ongama Mtinka joins us now. Thanks so much, Ongama, for your time this evening. So like I say, we've got roughly a month to go before the local elections and manifestos being released, with a lot more attention being paid to what they hold, given that COVID restrictions have muted some of the fanfare somewhat on some fronts. So overall, what have you made of what's been laid out thus far?
Sure. So good day to you and your viewers. What I've made of the manifestos, first let me comment about the way in which the events themselves. I think that the DA was very creative in its approach. It's find a way to make lively what could have been a boring on-screen presentation. It did excellently there. And I like the fact that they realized that they didn't have leeway to break lockdown regulations. I know that Julius Malema mentioned before the event that it was going to be difficult to run an election campaign under these circumstances, and they were going to willfully break the lockdown regulations. And I think that that should not go unchecked. And I think he should actually face the consequences for that as a party. When it comes to what the content of the manifestos is, I've compared EFF and DA and ANC manifestos now for the past 4 or 5 years. What the themes are largely the same: job, economy, mm-hmm. rural development, unemployment and poverty, among other things. The Democratic Alliance is speaking more from the perspective of a party that has gained governing experience, and they are foregrounding that above everything else. And the EFF, on the other hand, in consistency with the strategy that they took not to become a formal member of coalitions throughout the country, they are foregrounding their activist role. And how they have been successful in various provincial legislatures and municipal council in taking an activist stance to issues and following up on those issues and ensuring that there's follow through, they succeed in representing those issues. So it's going to be a quite interesting one. The parties are finding ways in which they differentiate themselves, which is not necessarily how they conceptualize problems and how they solve them, but more about what experience they bring in the table.
Ongama, the practicalities of what's being promised, though, will have to come into focus, though, right? If we look, for example, at what the EFF has laid out, it said that EFF-run municipalities will provide free water and electricity to poorer households. It's going to be conducting land audits, redistribute land, and introduce a wealth tax in order to subsidize poorer families. Are we looking at viable solutions actually being put on the table here, or is this sheer politicking? Because this looks at delivering services beyond the functions of local government.
Well, South Africa has got degrees of, it's got a progressive taxation system, which has been recognized by Oxfam as one of the most redistributive tax systems in the world. And if there are avenues where property taxes could be explored in a sustainable way. I mean, the municipalities are already charging property rates and taxes as a revenue stream. So wealth tax, the debates are there for and against it. And I think that on both sides of the divides, there are legitimate arguments that are being made. The kind of inequality that we have in South Africa does call for different ways of thinking about how best we can solve the problem. Some people have advanced, for example, things like prescribed assets and monetary policy that is developmental in its approach. There are a lot of these calls. I don't think a local government election is the right platform for it because it's a national policy type of issue. But when it comes to, for example, integrated human settlements and where you can build affordable human settlements, there are existing programs of government, things like social housing, for example, where low-cost houses are being built in affluent areas and the integration has been quite manageable, in fact, and caters for the missing middle. So there are things which are already government policy and have been tried elsewhere. If you look at, for example, the calls by the DA for the devolution of certain functions to municipalities, government already does that within the housing space, where a municipality can be assessed and its capabilities determined and then be accredited to receive money from the national fiscus to develop, and in the metro policing aspect as well. So there are avenues in which some of these things which look impractical at face value are being done, and we can leverage off the lessons from those things that are already being done in order to do more.
Ongama, some have said that the campaigning is going to be a case of promises pitted against pleas of forgiveness from the ANC itself, with so many disgruntled right now as far as service delivery is concerned in many of the ANC-run municipalities. Do you see some of these promises now simply being easier to buy into?
It's very interesting. So I suspect that the voters do vote on the basis of reputation that the parties have carved for themselves over a five-year period, over and above campaign messaging and campaign craft per se. Yes, indeed, we've seen in university campuses where the greater contribution to election outcome gets to be campaign craft and what campaigning candidates say. But I don't think we've gotten there yet as society, where you find that the campaign craft has a greater weight. So people's lived experiences is largely going to influence their voting behavior. Yes, indeed, messaging does have a role, but that's where us as media and critical analysts and academics come in order to actually sift through the messages and call out what is manipulation versus what is practical to implement.
Well, let's leave it there, Ongama. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, political analyst Ongama Mtimka.